our second edition of the Shir. The second part, I should say, is dedicated to Lezecher Nishmas, the Kedoshim, that fell 5 weeks ago to those that are serving our country, including my son Yaakov Chaim and Tzar Rivka, all those specifically in Gaza, and to the Cholim, to the hostages, and the Yishkoyach. Right now there's a big rally of over 100,000 people, I assume, that's taking place in Washington, D.C., to support our country, Yishkoyach to them. And we are dedicating our Torah learning for the current matzav, which I think is the a very high level that you committed yourself all these many, many weeks. And hopefully one day soon you will cancel me and we'll have no more shir. Okay. So yesterday we discussed the nitty-gritty of Marasayin. And just to review, we gave a number of different gemaras that talk about different areas of Marasayin, like the Kohen not being able to have any pockets, tefillin, or anything like that. So there should be shouldn't even be a chashash. Then discussed the Gemara that the girls really, really enjoyed about fish blood and not drinking fish blood and putting it in a vessel, even though it's mutter, because it's Marasayin. We talked about the Chadei Chadorim of Marasayin. We discussed the cowbell and it looking like you're going to the market. And then we gave our three heterim. So you could skip all the way to the first side, right before source number 9, the first page. Second side, source number 9, is the beautiful review that I did for you. We gave three different heterim. The first was the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash says we do not make new Isurim. This is a Dirabanan. A Dirabanan, and on a Dirabanan, we do not have any additional Isurim. So if you can come up with something new, we're going to say there's no Isur according to the Pri Chadash. Then we quoted the Rama, who told us about Chalav Shkedim, almond milk, and we said almond milk with basar would be a problem unless you put out the almond so people know what it is. With chicken, it wouldn't be because that's only an Isur Midirabanan. And finally, what we'll spend most of our time tonight about trying to figure out is the Russia's contention that as long as people know what it is, then it's okay, i.e., the cheeseburger. If I see, if I go into Smoky T's, and I get a cheeseburger, I go into Crave, and I get a cheeseburger, and I see you eating it in the window, what do I assume? Nothing. I assume you're eating a fake cheeseburger, meaning the cheese or the meat is fake, one of the two. Hopefully it's the cheese that's the fake one, because I'd rather have real meat. But okay, and that may not be Marasayin. But maybe we'll say it is Marasayin. How does a person know, right? If I'm sitting in McDonald's in Atlanta, Georgia, and eating it with my yarmulke and my beard and my payas, that's Marasayin in Kamohu. Let me give you the greatest example I can think of Marasayin, unfortunately, that I committed. Your Rebbe was a Marasayin boy. Here's what he did. Ready? As I've told you many times, I'm in the catering business. So in the catering business, 5-star caterers, we could have done your bar mitzvah. You didn't call me. You didn't call me. I would have put in a 6-star. So I was there. I spoke on Friday night. I literally spoke at your bar mitzvah. Oh, for the meal? Nobody invited me for any of your meals. Fine. We're just having a discussion on my side. I was here for davening. I literally was here. Friday night. Oh, Friday night it wasn't. Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, fine. Okay, calm down. So 5-star caterers. So I'm at an event. And at the event, they ordered for lunch that each of the classrooms that they were teaching in would get a pizza. We made fresh pizzas, but the chef said, oops, I didn't bring any pizza boxes. And we wanted to deliver pizza boxes. So he says to me, Hartstein, go out and get, I need 25 pizza boxes. And I'm like, where am I going to find pizza boxes? I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm the CEO of a catering company. I know nothing about catering. I know how to eat the food. I don't know anything out. So he's like, what do you mean? What do you do? Go find a pizza store. Go onto Google Maps and find a pizza store and ask them for a pizza box. Oh, my God, that's a great idea. The first place I went into, was Gino's Pizza. And Gino came out and I was like, hey, I just want the pizza boxes. He's like, you want 25 pizzas? I go, no, just the boxes. Boxes. I took out a knife. Get out of here. What are you, crazy? He thought I was like my jokester. The second place I went to was really weird. It was a Pakistani pizza store. I walked in, hello, how are you doing? Very, very much. Apparently, it was like his first customer in like 60 months. Because he was, I'm like, do you have any pizza boxes? I want to buy 25. He's like, I have 4 boxes. That is it. Nobody ever comes here. I'm like, okay, forget it. And then I went to another pizza store, Vinny's Pizza, big store. I walk in and I'm like, hi, very strange question I have for you. But I need 25 pizza boxes. He goes, hey, forget about it. No problem. Hey. So he says, your wife must be a teacher, right? She's a teacher in the public school. They apparently, they take pizza boxes and they decorate them for the kids. He says, I love that. I love it a lot. I'll even make the boxes for you. He goes, no problem. I'm going to do it for you. I'm like, okay. So he gives me the 25 empty pizza boxes. And he says, you know what? I'm not even going to charge you. It's for public school. It's fine. I'm like, okay, it's not really, I lied to you. I got to pay for it. Fine. It's very nice. He charged me like $1 a box, which is nothing. And now the strongest man in the world is carrying me 25 pizza boxes. Now, I'm walking to the car with 25 pizza boxes. Like, I'm the struggler. Now, nobody else knows that there's no pizza in them. But I look like, right. But now, what happens if somebody passes? They see a guy in a yarmulke with 25 pizzas from Vinny's Pizza. What would they think? Oh, those must be empty. Look at that weak Jew. There's no way he's carrying 25 pizza boxes. No. They think that Vinny's Pizza is kosher. Either, like we said yesterday, they think that Vinny's Pizza is kosher now because Rabbi Hartstein's eating there, or they think Rabbi Hartstein is the schutz they always knew that he was, and the pizza's treif. And Rabbi Hartstein's treif. And we will never come to a shiur again. Okay, I don't care. I don't get paid. Fine. The soda's flat anyway. Fine. So now we're going to have some fun cases. Case number one, Shelos Tshuvas, source number 9, Mincha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. He asked a question, what if it is Tisha B'Av? And now it's Erev Tisha B'Av, and you go upstairs to get your Tisha B'Av shoes. So most of us don't understand what this means because we're very happy to wear our slides, right? That's all we have. But let's say we're wearing, can't find slides, can't find anything. You walk downstairs, one brother, one sister, they're all wearing your clothes. Or your shoes, I mean. Excuse me. So now what do you do? So now what do you want to do? You're like, the only shoes that I have are my Blundstones. That's what it's called? Blundstones? Are those real? Perfect. They're Blundstones, right? But she can't afford real ones. So her cheapo parents buys her from the Merkaz, right? And the guy in the Merkaz says, hey, there's no problem. It's 50 shekels. Like, oh my gosh. She's like, you know, how much are Blundstones? Like 400 shekel? 500 shekel? And she gets it for 100 shekel. Why are they 100 shekel? Because they're not real. Blundstones, if I'm not mistaken, are made out of suede, which is leather. So they say, how do you say, it's not suede, it's plastic suede. Yes, it's fake, the whole thing's fake. So now you're wearing something that everybody here thought was real. We just found out they're not real. Can she wear it on Tisha B'Av? They're not leather. There's no problem halakhically. They're not leather. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, Asher b'ma'areisem him du b'mamash lom na'alayim. People think that they're leather. V'chein cholish emuter. Yes, it's true. If you're a cholish and it's more comfortable for you, you're allowed to have it. Al koponim l'chosh l'ma'aras. It says for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, l'ma'areisayin. To lo nekar. People don't know what's going on over here. V'laniyas daiti ma'areisayin haskir b'shas heinu b'davar hamuter rak b'pnei she'ira ka'usa iser. L'chein elser. Why is something usher? What's the classic example? He says, dam dagim. It looks like it's what? Or chalav mshkedim. What does it look like? It looks like it's the wrong item. It looks like it's a real dam, which we said is 7 in Surah. 7 times written in the Torah. Or it's real chalav and basar. But in these fake bluntstones called korpum, kevan shindira kin na'alav or nira dahare doyim elechol dover. She asru chachamim b'nei marasayin. We're going to get to this a little bit later. But I know you're going to tell me that your mommies, they like to wear peyas nachris. They like to wear shaitels. How is that allowed? What does a shaitel look like? Real hair, right? So how is that allowed? So why is that mutter? So he writes, Sherov anashim yodim lahavchin mizeh. Ladies, I'm sorry, but I have to call you out on this one. Can you tell if a woman is wearing a sheitel? Can you tell that it's a sheitel or her real hair? Yes? See, look, guys, now we pull them. Can you tell the difference? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Do you know what fake hair is? I cannot tell the difference. What? Oh,
A mitpachad, I'm sorry, a mitpachad. You know what a mitpachad is? You know, the goyish shetels. Not a scarf, not a mitpachad. What's a how do you say it in Hebrew? How do you say it in Hebrew? Echomim peyat nachrit be'evrit. I know, but how do you say it in Hebrew? No, mitpachad ze imasear. Mitpachad? Peyah, peyah. Peyah. No, peyah. Peyah. Shkoyach, peyah. Not peyah you take from the leket, and no. Peyah. So, most men, we can't tell the difference. Not that we should tell the difference. Sometimes I say to my wife, I'm like, does she cover her hair? And what is my wife's answer to me? Why are you looking? Okay, sorry, I should look down when I talk to her. Hello, how are you? Okay, fine, I just learned my lesson. Shkoyach. And what's my answer to her? We've been married 25 years. Come on. I can't know. So says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you're right. You can't tell. But they can tell. So it's okay. People do know. And that's why it's not us. And therefore, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when it comes to these shoes, he says you should not wear these shoes because people don't know what you're doing. Unless you're a chola and it's more comfortable. Okay, so then it's a different thing. And I don't care what people think. That's tshuva number one. Is that a question or you're number one? Yes.
I think the problem is that guys, probably for men, are just the women's here. But if men can't see the difference, then it doesn't matter.
Gorgeous answer. Shkoyach. Tell your father when you come home to give you a candy. That's a great question. He asked a good kasha. He says, who cares about you? You're nothing. We get shloshed on Isha already. Like, we talked about this already, right? We said the mechitz is nothing. Okay, we talked about this, right? Who cares what you think? I'm kidding, of course. What do I mean? So now, what are you going to do? You now know that she's married, so how does that help you? So now you can't marry her. Go ahead. We're the ones that are the problem. It's the woman who covers her hair so that I go, whoa, whoa. Daniel Hartstein, look down. You know? She's usher to me. Okay, I'm married already. So you, for you guys. You're all over 13, right? Right? She's usher to you. Right? She's married. Very, very good question. Excellent question. I thought about this a lot. Even Rav Moshe Feinstein, we're going to see in a moment, who asked this question, they both say the same thing. I can't tell the difference, but most women can. Who cares if the women can tell the difference? It shouldn't go by us. So it seems that Rav Shlomo Zalman is a little bit saying people do know. It's an excellent question. I don't have a good answer for you. You're right. It's a great question. But Moshe Feinstein was asked another question. How about this question? It's a little bit difficult in Eretz Yisrael to answer this, but I'll explain it to you. In America, we have Beit Knessets that are not orthodoxy. They're conservative-y, right? And in fact, in America, most people don't call them shuls. We call them temples. Temple Bethel, Temple Emmanuel, right? You understand what I'm saying? You don't have this so much in Israel. They're not religious. Nebuch. And we don't have it. Ramat Shila, I don't think we have any conservative shuls in Ramat Shila. No. Don't say any names of other shuls. Don't say it's not nice. Leva Torah. No, it's not nice. Not nice. Fine. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asked, you have the following thing. You have this gorgeous, in America, you have these beautiful, gorgeous, non-Orthodox temples. And what's happened in America, all these, unfortunately, people aren't going there anymore. They don't go there. You know, they have no mechitza, whatever. So now they're losing all their money, and there's a shul across the street who has no room, and they say to them, hey, can we rent space from you? Can we use your ulam for a shul, an Orthodox shul? We're not going to go into your thing. You do your fake davening with Rabbi Judy over there. That's us, sir. We can't do that. And the chazanit, no. And you don't say shalos on Isha, so we're not coming into your shul. And forget about my mechitza shir last week. There's no mechitza. Fine. Family seating. Can you imagine having to sit next to your family the whole Shabbos? Oh, you days and years. Fine. So the question Rav Moshe was asked, can we go into that? Because now what is it going to look like? Always give myself as an example. Hartstein's walking into Temple Bethel, Temple Emmanuel, Temple Simchat Shalom, whatever they call it. And I walk in, and what happens? What do you say? Rabbi Hartstein's not an Orthodox rabbi. What are they supposed to say? No, I bet you there's an Orthodox minion inside. Let's go look inside. No. So Moshe, source number 10, says, Im mutter lachnis litvalel becheder shebebinyan beit kineshet shenahagin lo kedin. So he writes, "B'davar hamizpalu bebei kineset sheikaru naaseh shelo kedin below mechitza, bein anashim lanashim." But we would not call a shul. Eich Yesh b'oto binyan, but there is a cheder sheyichtu avrum. There's a religious right minyan there. What should you do? Haynu be'ezem before some zeh the rabim sheyisham mokum kasher litalil aser bebara be'alzeh. He says it's aser for a person to do that based on the Gemara in Olivar Zalish and Neshchatu Yisrael. We shouldn't be choishin of Yisrael. Shalchim ba bezman shadarach miyuchan mokum zeh perish Rashi v'nei chashad shenei rekem alach avoyna. Even if it's a chashad, we said Rav Moshe Feinstein has a difference between chashad and Maariv Zayin. And therefore, he ends his tshuva by saying, you cannot go in there because people don't know what's going on, and therefore there is an isser of Maariv Zayin. Now, we could argue that there are some communities that everybody knows what's going on. There is a place called the Sephardic Temple. The Sephardic Temple is located in, I think it's on the border, North Sudhurst, North Rumir. In the Five Towns. And it is one of two Sephardic places that are not Orthodox. Sephardim go Orthodox or nothing, or bust. So they are dying shul. So what do? They rent out space for Orthodox minyanim. And there's actually a sign that says, you know, minyan hadati this way, whatever. So the question is that usher? I don't even know if Rav Moshe there would say it's usher. Why? Because everybody knows where you're going when you walk in there. They know you're going to some simcha there. Right? There's a sign. I'm not so sure. In the same tshuva of Moshe here, if you look at source number 10, the second half, he asks about ubedavar imuter lelech be restaurant. Can I go to a restaurant? So I reminding myself many years ago, probably 20 years ago, there was also a rally in Washington, also for Israel. I'm Yisrael Chai. Yeah, great. And on the way home, there was no way to get to where our buses were parked. The buses were parked 3 miles away, and we had to walk. And we were walking through really bad neighborhoods, and what happened as you're walking, the whole day you were a bit on your feet, we got very thirsty. Big problem. There was nothing to drink. So now let me ask you this. There's one store on the corner, I see. It's a restaurant. It's some non-kosher restaurant. Can I walk into the restaurant and just get a soda? That's all I want is a soda. What do you think? Just a soda. Soda is kosher. Nothing else at the store is kosher. That's the question. Does everybody know? It's a big sign on it. It says Boar's Head Ham, served here. And you're walking in, you know, like, hi, Rabbi Hartstein, hi. So where Moshe Feinstein writes here, the following. Source number 10, the last part. Ubedavrim mutal lecha l'restra, shemanichim sham, rak machalei chalav, avalheim mechal Shabbos. So even though it has no hashkacha on it, right? And even though you might think, oh, Rabbi, what's the big deal? It's just fish. What could be in fish? I tell you, it's bishlakum. The oil they use may not be kosher. It's just a vegan restaurant, Rabbi. No. The gam hashuman, then he says, whatever they use is not good. What about bishlakum, as I said? Ulachain, im nichnas l'sham ocha b'dvarim hayoidim sham. Shum chashash. What if they have packaged items in there? You walk into the restaurant and you could just get a can of soda never been opened before with an OU on it. Yesh la'aser mipnei maris ayin v'chashad. You can't do it. Eich. Now here's the absolute strangest Rav Moshe Tshuva I've ever seen. It's aser, but v'im hu ra'ev b'yoter, but if I'm really hungry and I'm marching and I just marched the whole day and I haven't eaten all day and all I want is a cookie from my friends at Oreo, Shehaya besina b'makum sarif seda lo gozer rabbanan. It's not. People aren't going to really know. I'm in the middle of the bad part of Washington D.C. Maybe it would be mutter. He says that. Now I don't know if Moshe is referring to a concept here called Yishuv Yehudi, but we may have touched upon yesterday the following question, like this: I'm an Israeli. I know you don't think I am because I don't speak Hebrew, but ani Yisraeli iparon. Ken, shalom. Right, I'm Israeli, which means I only have to celebrate one day of Yontif, the only reason why I moved to Israel. So now it's the first day of Yontif, and I decide on, I don't know, let's say Motzei Pesach or Motzei Sukkos, to get on a plane, and I'm going to land in America in the morning or in the afternoon. It's still Yontif in America, the second day of Yontif. I don't celebrate the second day of Yontif. What can I do? Now, so as long as I land in an airport, all airports are not considered to be Yishuv Eino Yehudi, meaning there's not from people living in the airport, right? I'm not landing in Borough Park, you know? I'm not landing in Ramat Beit Shemesh Bet. It's not a Yishuv Yehudi. And therefore, I can land in the airport, but I could do Malacha. But I can't get into a cab and go to Teaneck or go to the Five Towns. Why? That's Usser. Because that's going to Yishuv Yehudi, and that's called Maris Ayin. Rav Moshe here is saying, well, it depends. What do people think? And that comes to the core, I think, here in Eretz Yisrael. This is a very hard question. But if you know for sure, Golda is 100, all the Goldas are kosher. The ice cream for sure is kosher. I would argue that if they're open Shabbos, a frum person cannot go there because that is Maris Ayin. Because then Jewish people think it's okay to eat there because you're eating there, everything must be okay. Sometimes, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but I've walked into a store once and the guy says to me, "Slicha, ze lo kasher. Ata lo yachol le'achol po." I'm like, what if I want to eat here? Ata lo yachol. I'm like, but you can't tell me what to do, right? In America, they'll be like, oh, we're kosher. You know, they don't care. Our bacon is kosher bacon. You know, like, no. In Israel, they'll kick you out of store. There's an aroma on 38, not the one that's in the mall. On 38. It's open Shabbos. So the first time it would open, like a week after, I'm like, oh my God, there's an aroma here. I get my iced coffee. You know, I pulled in and the lady would not let me get an iced coffee. No, no, no kasher po. Pachtuch b'shabbat. Tilech mipo. You know, like, it's like, no Jews allowed. You know, no religious people allowed. That's generally what the rule is. We generally think that that's Maris Ayin, even though it might be kosher. Now, that would be different than going into a store that's open Shabbos. Let's say a makolet. Right? Your makolet's open. We don't know from this living in Ramat Beit Shemesh, right? Everything's, if it was Goff, if anything was ever open, we would kill them, you know? So can you go, can you open? Can you go into that? Yeah, a gas station is open Shabbos. That's okay, because everything's packaged. I don't think that's Maris Ayin. People know where you're going in there. So that's the restaurant shadow. If you turn the side, and sorry, not the turn the side, you go to the next page, source number 11 is the tshuva of all tshuvas. Ladies, we're going to have fun with the Sheitel Shaila. Rav Moshe Feinstein in source number 11 was asked, what about a Sheitel? Please don't get me in trouble. The guys don't even know what I'm talking about, so they're not going to go home. You're going to go home and tell you, Rabbi Hartzin spoke about your Sheitel, Mom. Now, ladies, let's see if you know the answer to this question. Sorry, Sheitel's payout. How much money does a expensive payout cost? What are you girls like? How much? Esther Aleph? Yeah, it's an ugly Sheitel. 500,000, they know. Like what I'm. 30,000 shekel. Because I pay the bills in my house. What do you mean, how do I know this? Because I have a wife. No. It could cost between. יכול להיות 5,000, יכול להיות 10,000, יכול להיות עד 50,000 אפילו. 50,000. So now, I ask you a question. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a question by somebody by the name of the Tshuva source number 11, בעניין פיית נוכרית, מפי ידידי הנכבד, הרב דוד לפה. But David Lapa was my teacher when I was in Hafter, in school. And he asked the following question. Listen to this question. He was asked, I have a problem. What's my problem? My wife just bought a payah that is very much looking like our hair. It's very pretty, beautiful. What is it today? Today they get some fancy schmancy girl from I don't know, Europe somewhere. And they shave her hair off. And they present it, and they make it into a nice, I don't know anything. I've never made sheitels before, but they go to a sheitel macher, and they make it. And it's basically regular, it's somebody's hair. It's beautiful, beautiful. So now what's the question? He says to Rav Moshe Feinstein, how can my wife wear this? She's going to walk on the street. I don't know the difference. How am I going to know the difference between her hair and what am I going to think? Mr. Lapa's wife doesn't cover her hair. Oy vey, terrible. So he asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, how am I allowed to do this? How can I let her do this? Now, let's just review for a minute. There is a halacha, probably midaraisa, that a woman has to cover her hair. There's Das Moshe, Das Yehud, this midaraisa, she has to cover her hair. How she covers her hair? Ooh, that's a whole other shiloh. And if we were to ask you, no, we're not asking this question, because you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't even know anything. You know, you still think you're, you know, all your moms wear mezpachats all the time. You guys know, everybody's mom's got a little sheitel somewhere. What kind of sheitel does she have? Oh, there's all different types of sheitels. There's the kippah sheitel, which is basically hair, like just hair here, and then she puts her hair. Then there's a fall, and then there's a, I don't know, there's all these other ones, right? All different types. I know, I'm holding, I know. And then she has to buy them. But and then my wife tells me, well, it's going to be a 1,500 shekel more because she's putting highlights in it. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, fine, just go, yeah. And she's putting baby hair inside. I don't know, whatever, fine. So I'm learning, yeah. So listen to the tshuva, source number 11. He named the parent, also, Shalti, Ma'aricha Rabbanit, HaKavoyda, your great Rabbanit, that wears it. He says, Ve'atam Pasha. She came and she lo matzino begamar, she usher, ein lo chukma bakolos. He goes, why are you being so machbid over here? What are you adding in Surim? And then he writes in the underlined part, sorry, not the underlined part, in the bolded part, people know, not me, Rav Moshe Feinstein, but other people know about it. And therefore I can't say that it's Aser. That's what he says. And then, excuse me for saying, he schools, Mr. Lapa. And he says, let me ask you a question. This is not such an easy question, but I'll ask the question. I don't know, who can we pick on? I look at this kid, and let's say he's 10 years older now, and look at him all clean shaven. I say, can I ask you a question? Your chutzpah is good for Leva Torah boys. I scare them when I say this. I'm scared that one time I'm going to say this, and he's going to be like, how'd you know? Look at him, clean shaven. He uses a razor. A chutzpah. A razor is an issa d'oraisa. How can you use a razor? So what does he say to me? I don't use anything, okay? I don't shave yet. Fine, just go, yeah. Right? Just because he's 13 years old in like 2 days doesn't mean he shaves yet. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein to this man who's clean-shaven, how come nobody comes up to you and says, oy vey, shiksa, and throws rocks at you for using a razor? Why? Because shavers are, some companies say, as close as a blade or your money black, right? So he writes here in the second paragraph, the Kain Raya Mizeh, Shemutla Galea Chazakam, and Misparayim, you could use Bein Tar. That's not Marisayim. Why? Everybody knows. When they see a man that's clean shaven, they don't assume that he's using a razor. They know that there are close shaves, and that's not considered a razor. That's the Shaila. It's a good question. Do we say that you would know that or not? I'm not sure. And he says, Lo Aser, Bishul Apamim Rechokim. He says, oh, but there are some people that don't know? So what? So now I'm a newly religious person, and I read in a newspaper about this new thing called shaving. I never knew. And I look at a religious person and say, oh my God, I think he doesn't use. No, he says, that's not good enough. And therefore he writes, they came the Adua Lakol, Shesh Luvosh Peas Nacher Shetiyeh, Kidmani Kisarot Isha Atma, Ein La Eser Min HaTorah. Lo Yichishto Aroyim. He says, certainly not Eser Min HaTorah, and therefore, everything okay? Therefore, we don't say that it's Aser. Shekain, Shelo Isser Rabbanan. And I said, that's it. Don't add on to these things. He goes, this is the din, and Rav Moshe Feinstein does not. Now, this doesn't mean, like people quote Rav Moshe Feinstein, and therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein said, it's great to wear a $25,000 sheitel, whatever, $10,000 sheitel. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't say that. What does Rav Moshe Feinstein say? Rav Moshe Feinstein says, lehalacha, it's not Aser. Whether or not we want to argue now that maybe Shetel's not the greatest thing because it looks better than her hair looks, okay, that's a whole different discussion. I don't have the shoulders to discuss that discussion. Last tshuva of the night is the tshuva of Rav Usher Weiss. Rav Usher writes this, if I'm not mistaken, writes this in three different tshuvas, the following question. Back to our question about the restaurant. Let's say you have a person who has a office. He works in an office. And in his office building, he has a cafeteria. Okay, let's say he's a Jew, because we're talking about Jews now. And in the cafeteria, they announce everything's free. If you work for the company, everything in the cafeteria is free. You get free lunch every day. So what's the problem about your free lunch? It's not kosher. So you go down to the cafeteria. Oh my God, there's meat and there's chicken and schnitzels and you can't eat it. But what can you eat? There's pretzels in bags, closed. There's sodas. So can I eat that? So Rav Usher Weiss was asked, can I go into this big cafeteria and eat my kosher lunch and take a soda? But what's going to happen when I'm eating there? What's it going to look like that I'm eating, right, that I'm eating non-kosher? Is that mutter or not? So what's going to be the answer? Anybody can guess what the answer is? What'd you say? Why? Why isn't it Marisayan?
There are other Jews that work in this company. So your argument is, that's not Marisayan. Why? Because it's Ne'akar. People know that you're eating kosher. Right? This would be a question. In America, you have people who go out to a business lunch in a non-kosher restaurant, 100% non-kosher. What do? They order in a kosher meal. I'm serious. You can order a fancy kosher meal. It comes in a double wrap thing with beautiful silverware on a beautiful plate. Beautiful. Everything amazing. But what's the one problem? You're sitting in a non-kosher restaurant with your yarmulke on. So the question is, what do people think when they see you? Oh, so I think it would be worse if you put a hat on, because if they know who you are, they're like, why do you think he's wearing a hat? He's hiding that he's eating treif. Yeah. Oh, excellent. So it's possible we could say that, what if I went to Starbucks? Let's assume Starbucks isn't kosher. There's a lot of things in Starbucks that are not kosher. Not for now. Today's not the kosher discussion. So can I go there just to get free Wi-Fi? Or not, I mean, legally. I buy a bottle drink there. I buy a bottle of water. You're allowed to do that. One of Starbucks's like business models is that they want people to feel like it's their home. When it's their home, they'll pay $8 for a cup of coffee. I don't know, whatever. So that's a good question. All this is the non-Marisayan, the rush. People know. It's interesting. Nobody's using the Ramban saying, well, it's only a disarabban, so it's okay. Nobody's using the Shita of the pre-Megadim that's saying that it's a new Isser, forget it. No. They're all focusing on this rush. Even though, if you see, let's go a little bit depth into Rav Osher Weiss's Tshuva, source number 12. He says, yes, it's true. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, in Chelek Mem, Din B'Sheila Zu, V'lo Hevanti Dvarav. If you remember the second part of that Tshuva that we read about the going into a non-religious synagogue, he talked about going into the, he says, I don't understand. I don't understand Rav Moshe's Tshuva. Rav Moshe wrote, it's usher to go into that store, but if you're hungry, you can. He says, V'lo Hevanti Dvarav Klal. Dib Emes, Lo Amrusham, Te'akil B'Marasayim, Mishum Tsar. Where do we have a thing that says, but if you're really hungry, okay, you can do it. It doesn't make any sense. Ella b'makom sar pseida hitura malacha klachar yad. No, we don't say that on Shabbos. We don't say on Shabbos, well, if you're really hungry and you don't have cholins, you know what you could do? You can go like this and turn the oven on. No, I know some people think that. No, you can't take your little baby brother, pick him up and throw him against the wall so the light goes on. You're not allowed to do that, right? Even if he's very cute. You're not allowed to do that. So he says, if you're eating in a non-kosher restaurant, people are going to think, not that you're eating the kosher food, you're eating the velos and treifas. We said it's aser. The own mevia b'divrei toisa, it's a lo hitira marasayin ela mishum tsar. Klal mishum tsar. What does tsar have to do with this? But tsarach even begirs moshe. As Rav Osher Weiss is awesome, Rav Osher Weiss believes that he's an Achron, Rav Moshe Feinstein is an Achron, and I can argue on Rav Moshe Feinstein. He does this many, many times. I love Rav Moshe, he's the biggest gadol, but I argue on him. That's what Rav Osher Weiss is saying. And then he says the following, this is a good review of our shir. He says, Eich mitam acher nira lahakel. You know why? I'll tell you why. Number one, Yesh la'ayin im chashash marasayin din klalihu, o shema ein lanu ella es masha osru chazal mishum marasayin. The Ein Lahosif, who said that? The Pri Chadash. He said, maybe this is a new Isser. They didn't have restaurants in the days of the Gemara like that. Okay, it's fine. And they say, Ein Goizim Gezerah. You don't have a new Gezerah. And maybe Ella Mahut Tov Roy Linog Lahachmer. You should be Machmer, he says. But Umakum Soirich, the Toirich. And it's a new Isser, maybe it's okay. Number two, Kol Geder Maris Ayin, Mishtane Lefi Amokon Lefi Azman, V'yesh Dover She'amru Haya B'Maris Ayin, U'la'achar She'darshu Bei Rabim, Shuv Ein Bo Maris Ayin. If it's a known thing that everybody goes to this ice cream store, and okay, it doesn't look, everybody knows what he's doing. Now, even, by the way, if he's going to the place and it's not a good hashkacha, it may be mutter, right? Because they think it's kosher, even though they've never been in there. That's number two. The Yotzim Midvarenu be called Mokum Bizman Shein Chashash Marasayin Mishum Shemoitzim Matsuyoshan Chashi Chol Bishad. It's not us, sir. The Adam Hagun min Hayushiv Shiyadanein Lakaf Schus. He says, so then we have a famous question, which nobody asked today, but it was, would it be a good question. What's the question? The question is like this. I thought it says in Pirkei Avos, Haredan is called Adam Lakaf Schus. What happened to that? What happened to Pirkei Avos? You're supposed to look at every Jew and say, I bet he was doing the right thing. Right? Right? You see a guy, he takes out a knife. Whoosh, and he's about to cut another person. So, would you run home and call the police? Yes, you should. Right? Right? And what does he do? It turns out he's doing a shechita, there was an animal over there. Or, he's a doctor and he's doing surgery. Why are you not Don Lakov's good? Okay, sometimes you don't have to be Don Lakov's good. You can't be stupid. Yeah, they take a knife, that's what they do. So, what's the halacha? So, what happened to this? It's a very good question. Very good question for extra credit. Why don't we say, there's no Maris Ayin? Shh. Maris Ayin is assuming what? Maris Ayin is assuming that we don't trust anybody. Maris Ayin means it doesn't look right. So here's the answer that I made up, but I think it's a good answer. It's true. You have to look at me as I do nothing wrong. But I, if you remember the first Mishnah we said in Shkalim, Vayisim dekiyami Hashem Yisrael. I have to make sure that you don't have the opportunity to look at me in a bad eye. That it doesn't look wrong. And yes, maybe that means I have to be a little bit extra careful. I can't walk into, I'll give you an example. This is, I think, Usher. Maybe I'm wrong, I think this is all. Anyway, Yosef Midorenu, Rav Asher writes, says, the Iker, Sherabim Nogu Kane, he doesn't think it's a problem with Maris Ayin because people do go into this cafeteria type of situation, have kosher food, you can just drink a soda there. He doesn't think it's a problem. So here's my story. When we were in America, Nebuch, when we were moving from our apartment to our house, which unfortunately made us not move for a good few years to Israel. Anyway, so we had these wonderful movers. They were these big African-American movers who were like the strongest guys. And it was amazing. They were doing an amazing job. Anyway, it was like 12 o'clock, and the biggest one comes up to me and goes, hey, you buying us lunch? I'm like, yes, I am. And then he goes like this to me. I'm like, oh my God, help me. And he says, do me a favor and don't be like all the other Jews and buy us pizza. We hate pizza. Says, for some reason, all the Jews think it's the greatest idea, but why do you think the Jews buy them pizza? It's the cheapest. It's the cheapest. He doesn't know that. He says, buy us some of them good deli sandwiches. We love them Jew deli sandwiches. I'm like, okay. I'll go to Noah's Ark and I'll buy Jew deli sandwiches. It's great. Now, as I get in the car, I just realize a deli sandwich from Noah's Ark is like $15. I'm a cheap Jew. Like, I don't want to spend $15 on these losers. A person. So I come up with a great idea. I drive 2 blocks away, and there's a sign across the street, and it has a big sign. It says Boar's Head Ham. I call the number. I say, hi, can you make me, you know, 6 sandwiches? What kind? I don't know, just delis. I don't care. Deli sandwiches. Right? Trafe. I don't, who cares? I'm not Jewish. So I said, it's Mar sign. I can't. So I said, I can't go into the store. Can you come out? I'll pay for it over. The guy thought I was crazy, but okay. And I waited in the parking lot, and he delivered it to me. Now, that may be the Isser Mar sign, right? Because somebody saw him walk out from the big Boar's Head Ham sign and deliver that to me. That could be Mar sign. I thought maybe it wasn't. The problem, unfortunately, was I gave him the sandwiches. They ate the sandwiches, and they were the happiest guys in the world. And the big guy come up to me again, and he touched me again. He goes, thank you very much, man. You know, it's very difficult for us, he says. We're Muslims, and we only eat halal, so we can only eat your kosher stuff, not that Boar's Head stuff. He literally just ate all his Boar's Head stuff. And I was like, okay, make sure to bench, you know, like, oh no, don't kill me. And that's a different, that's not a Maris Ayin, if they even like, I don't know if they follow halacha, but it doesn't. But really, la halacha, Yosef Zvarenu, Maris Ayin becomes a very challenging halacha to know what's what. I told you before, the OU policy is, if you're at a fleishig meal and you serve coffee, you have to serve the milk, the kosher pyre of milk in a milk container so nobody will have a chashash. But at the same dessert, they can serve ice cream pie that's pyre without having to tell people it's ice cream pie. What's the difference? Why do I know more about that? And the big shayla coming up today, the huge shayla, is the shayla of the new meat that they're making. In probably 10 years from now, there will be no more meat from mumus. No such thing. The cows are going to be able to have a good time, lay back and relax. They're going to be fine, the cows. Because they started to make, using enzymes from a cow, fake meat, right? Lab meat. Guess what? It tastes exactly like a piece of steak. Your greatest steak ever tastes like. And all they did was, so the shayla is,
What is that meat considered? Milchik, parav, meat, kosher, not kosher, right? So they brought a few months ago Rav Usher Weiss, Rav Rimon, and Rav Schechter to look at it. And of course, three rabbis, three answers. Or four. No, three answers. Rav Schechter was concerned about Marasayan. He was concerned that how can I tell you to eat this piece of steak and then eat milchik ice cream afterwards? Because at the essence, it's not from a cow. It's from the enzymes of a cow. So Rav Schechter said he thought it was. So I went to Rav Schechter after this and I said, Rav Schechter, I don't understand. What do you think? Do you think he goes, yeah, Marasayan will change. At some point, now, if you see somebody eating a cheeseburger that's from, I don't think one person is like, oh, yoy, this is the person I wanted to marry. I can't believe that she's eating a cheeseburger or he's eating a cheeseburger. You know that it's either power of cheese or milk of cheese and a power of burger. We all know that already. So Rav Schechter said, you're right. At some point, that's going to change. I sat with Rav Usher Weiss and I asked him the same question. He didn't think it was Marasayan. He thought it was Basser for sure. I spoke to Rav Rimon about it. Everybody thought that there was a chashash here. Nobody said that he thought there was mutter. I think Rav Rimon was the most to moving towards mutter. But Marasayan, like the Rush says, is very going to be based on the time. So it could be that I might have a tshuva that was written 3 years ago, that's usser, and now all of a sudden it's mutter. Right? We all know this. We all see things that are used to be milk. They're not anymore. Everything now they can make, everything, cheese they make is parav. They make meat that's parav. They make... Right? So therefore, the halacha, I don't think Maris Ayin is always going to be an issue unless it's an obvious thing, like here in Eretz Yisrael. I think going into a non-kosher restaurant or a restaurant open Shabbos is a huge problem in Israel, as opposed to America, where there seems to be obvious that many people like to have a drink there or something that's kosher, and that people seem to think is okay, is more okay, because that's not Marasayan, because people understand. And when it comes to our shoes or things like that on Shai, so again, it depends what people see. I would say that that's much different. 2 days a year, people don't know what type of shoes you're wearing, and therefore it has to be obvious that it's a shoe that's a slide or Crocs, that it's obvious that everybody knows what it is. That I think is for sure. And I would say, yeah, I think there's certainly the issue of the Peyat Nochrit is not going to be Aser Mitzad Marasayin. You want to have other chumras that you want to take upon yourself? That's something different. But Mitzad Marasayin, I don't think we could say that would be Aser. Have a good evening.